Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inevitable, Wes Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today. And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher here with you on Wrestling Weekly. Thanks for joining us. We got a great show tonight, Les.
Yeah, we do. We've got a very good show tonight, Doc. I think Jerry Oates on the first hour and Samoa Joe in the second hour.
That's right.
Yeah.
Jerry Oates, the promoter, owner of Georgia Championship Wrestling, is going to be on the show first.
Yeah, Jerry's quite a worker himself. I've known Jerry since his very first day on the road back in 1971. He was trained by his brother-in-law, Dickie Steinborn. But, I'm going down to Jerry's neck of the woods this next weekend, Columbus, Georgia, for the Fred Ward Memorial Show. Fred was a promoter in Columbus, Georgia for years for Georgia Championship Wrestling, which is what Jerry has named his company. Jerry has his own building down there and runs every Saturday night. And so anyway, he's going to have the Mass Superstar in, Bob Armstrong, Brad Armstrong, Bill Dromo, Ole Anderson, to name a few, you know, in to honor Fred, and he has a good car down there. So we're going to talk about that and Jerry's career as well.
That's excellent. What are you going to be doing down there?
I'm going to be Master Ceremonies.
Cool.
If I told you I was going to wrestle, you'd know I'd be lying. I'd be crazy. I may not be lying, but I'd be nuts.
You could always manage, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, listen. We were talking before we went on the air, and I wanted to shout out to all the Napoleon Dynamite fans in the chat room. I just saw the movie last night, and it was all too good.
It was actually amazing. Les is like, the first thing Les says is, "You see Napoleon Dynamite? That's funny." And everybody's talking about it at the same time. That was weird.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Back to wrestling. Samoa Joe's going to be on the show in just a little while, and it's going to be a good interview.
Yeah, he's Joe's one of the top young guys out there. And he was in a good situation just a few weeks ago where he had could toss a coin, so to speak, and pick WWE or TNA or stay as a free agent or whatever. So he signed with TNA, and he's made a great impression on his first couple outings. And I'm happy for him. He's a great kid. We'll talk about this later, too, but I saw the first Joe Punk 60-minute match in Dayton last year, whenever. It was a great match, and he's really made that title for Ring of Honor really mean something. But anyway, yeah, he's going to be on the show, and like I say, one of the top young talents out there.
It's going to be good. So what's going on in the news this week, Les?
Well, I didn't see the Great American Bash. I had other things going on, but from all reports, it was just a so-so show.
Yeah.
Did you watch?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was so-so.
Well,
And Melina didn't win.
Well, but you got...
Melina did win.
You got to see everybody in bra and panties, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, then you died happy. What can I say?
See, they don't... They know how to not disappoint those fans, you know?
Yeah, I had no idea that Animal was staying, and I had called the M&M for the win there.
Right.
While we're on that subject, Jillian Hall... And that horrendous looking thing on her face. I saw a gold member too. And what's your point?
Right.
It's a one trick pony. It's a joke that lasted for 90 minutes in the movie. And anyway.
Actually, he didn't show up till the middle of the movie. So it was actually maybe 30.
Okay. Well, whatever. So anyway, it's over. Can we move on? I mean, you know, she's a very attractive young lady. She works hard to stay in shape. She's busted her hump down at OVW for the last 3 or 4 years, and this is kind of like harnessing Matt Morgan with the stuttering thing, and he's got his strength was his promos. You know, I mean, like I say, she's athletic and she's a good-looking kid, and it's sophomoric. I don't see the value, you know. I think it actually demeans your product.
Yeah. And maybe, I don't know, maybe in the future she can have surgery and get it removed.
Yeah.
You never know.
Well, boy, God, I hope they don't want her to walk around the streets with that. Man, or if they do, the price is going to be phenomenal. You know, I would have, my thought was when I called Benoit to beat Orlando Jordan was, firstly, the title on Jordan hasn't meant a lot because they haven't done a lot with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's not a knock on him, it's just a knock on the situation. I don't care if you put on Ric Flair, if you don't push him and put him out front, you know, and talk about it, make it mean something, it doesn't. And my thought was that, you know, if they wanted him to have it for a little while longer, let Benoit have it, let them work, you know, a little story out of it. And he takes it back with the help of JBL or whatever, and, you know, it puts a little steam on the strap, too, for the next person. You know, the value, nothing has value if you don't utilize it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You can have the fastest car in NASCAR history, but if it sits in your garage with an empty fuel tank.
These second-tier titles don't mean anything to them right now. That's just how I feel about it.
You know, the sad thing is, it's possible to make, well, when I say all the titles, you can only have, you can oversaturate anything. But, I'll go back to the 50s, when we had Donnie Fargo on and Frankie Kane, we were talking about the Al Half territory out of Reynoldsburg, Ohio, just outside of Columbus, actually. And this guy ran five states, ran three shows a night. But he had live television in Cincinnati, Columbus, and Dayton, all on Saturdays. All the WLW Crosley Broadcasting, WLWT here, D in Dayton, and WLWC in Columbus. But anyway, long story short, they ran a tournament on TV in three brackets. They had the heavyweights, junior heavyweights, which is now the cruiserweights, and the women's division. And this tournament lasted, gosh, I don't know, Doc, but they had like a scoreboard. And it would go, I was just a kid when it was going on, but I'm going to say it went, a couple months.
Uh-huh.
And then the blow-off was each year would be in a different, like they come to Cincinnati, the Gardens, the Dayton at the Memorial Auditorium up there at the time, and so on. But they had, there was a title match for the three divisions with a triple main event on that particular show. And like one year they brought in Jack Dempsey to referee the heavyweight thing, but they made everything important. And it's possible to do that, make your tag teams important. They have had the nucleus of some very good tag team division and either don't know what to do with it or just elect to do nothing with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sadly enough, it goes back, all your dynasties have one thing in common, athletic dynasties. They all have depth on the bench. And this is not necessarily the bench, but your tags, your girls in competitive situations with athletic competitive girls, the cruiserweights, I mean, that can strengthen your mid and lower card with their own ongoing programs, and just give more substance to a show overall.
How it used to be.
Yeah, well, if back in the day, very quickly, if you came into, say, the Carolinas, and we're getting you over as a babyface, where you're going to start, if you wrestle in Charlotte on the Monday night shows, you're going to start probably on the first match, and if we're pushing you to the top, you're going to get a win, and you're going to wrestle a tough little tougher guy each on the way up. There'll be a mid-card heels that have been established, and they are tough trial horses, if that's what you want to call them, and you'll work a little program with them, and finally you'll be able to leapfrog past them to the top. Or back then, maybe it was a tag team, because tag teams were on top, guys, 75% of the time in the Carolinas in the 60s and up into the mid-70s till George Scott took over. But anyway, long story short, it's there. It can be done. And the funny thing is, everybody says, well, what do the fans want? Amazingly enough, if you find something and you work at it and establish it, they may be hesitant to accept it initially, but will end up probably accepting it if it's well done. A lot of people say, well, the WWE style of, it's taken away. They can't bump their butts off. Okay, cool. That's a good thing because it means longevity for the athlete. These guys have only got a small window of opportunity to make a living.
Right.
And I don't think the fans honestly want to see them in wheelchairs, but, they have to slow things down.
Guys, I don't think they're thinking about that.
Yeah, well, guys being out a year at a time is counterproductive for them personally in their career, no matter what company they work for and whichever company.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, let's face it, it is a business, and it's about productivity.
Mm-hmm. A couple new people, not new people, but a couple former WWE stars going back this week.
Yeah, Spanky and Jamie Noble.
Yes.
Or James Gibson or whatever.
I think it'd be Jamie Noble again.
Brian Kendrick. What? Yeah, you know, and Spanky, this is kind of like a revolving door for him, bless his heart. They had signed him. He was in Memphis in the developmental system, and when they shut that down and sent the guys that kept over here to me at Cincinnati, they let Brian go. And then Spanky, on his own, came to Cincinnati and asked, he said, can I train with you and work on your shows? I said, you sure can. He's a hard little worker and you know, really, really had his head into it. And so anyway, long story short, he ended up getting the contract back again.
Mm-hmm.
And then he asked for his release.
Yes.
What, that's been a little over a year ago?
Mm-hmm.
And in truth, you know, there's a lot of freedom out there. But when you got to hustle and pound the, you know, pound the pavement to book yourself out, sometimes a guy will look and say, hey, maybe I don't have the freedom of the big company, but I know the paycheck's there every Monday.
Right.
And, you know, that accounts for something, man.
True, true. And, of course, Gibson Noble also going back, and I met him before.
Yeah.
And he's kind of an intense kind of little fella.
Oh, he's just a smaller version of Benoit.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, and Jamie's just a great kid, a hard worker. I mean, I love his work ethic, his enthusiasm, and his talent. He had some great matches when he spent over a year with me, and we had, you know, had a great time with him. He worked, and in practice, man, I couldn't ask for anybody to train any harder.
My only regret is that we did not get to book him for the show before he went back.
Well, never say never. That's what they say there, right?
Exactly.
Okay. I don't mean no harm. I don't hope he loses his job. But
yeah.
Anyway, maybe that door will open up for us at some point.
Yeah. Chris Jericho signed an extension with WWE this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the key word is extension, am I right?
Yes.
Not necessarily 5 years, 3 years, but an extension.
Yes.
So he's still debating. Well, you know, a lot of people lump this in with Lesnar or say, well, you know, he's mad because he's not on top. But listen, Chris has made a good living in you know, Japan, WCW, and on. And if he's in a position and he's doing all right with the band, I guess, you know, of course only he knows that, whether it's something. But again, if he's in a position to try something, you know, to chase another dream, man, I say more power to him while he's young.
Yeah, well, he said that, you know, he's having a really good time with Fozzy, but it's not going to interfere with what's going on with WWE.
Yeah. Well,
and he's a wrestler first.
But, I mean, everybody's so intense on it. You know, it's his call. It's mm-hmm. his life, and it's his career.
Absolutely.
And I think if he were to leave, I don't think he'd go out like Brock did and have that kind of problem. Because I think Chris has been in the business long enough that he would, you know, sit down with Vince and Johnny and JR or whoever and say, hey, you know, can we work this out? And I'm sure they will. You know, with the option of him coming back if it doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think he'll burn that bridge. So I don't, you know, but again, you know, Doc, if you've got the money to afford to do the show next week from Bangkok, hey, go on with your bad self.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you hear the story about that indie worker who he got arrested for murder?
He got what?
He got arrested for murder.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did hear that. I have no earthly idea. But, you know, indie workers are people, too.
True.
Well, you know, this, I don't know. That's sad. And, of course, it's like a nail in the coffin for the business, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's guilt by association, you know.
Yeah, he was with IWS, and they're backing him. They're backing him up. They say that they know he didn't do it. Anybody that knows him knows that,
right.
You know, he's innocent and things like that. And they're going to back him up through this trial.
Well, you know, if that's the case, then that's cool. And if they prove him, you know, innocent, I think that's great, too.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I want to mention up front, if we have indie workers that tune into the show or get on the site, Harley Race is camp in Eldon, Missouri, which is on the Lake of the Ozarks, beautiful little town right in the middle of Missouri.
Right.
September 21st through 24th, they're having the second annual NOAA training tryout camp. And from NOAA, the stars from NOAA, Kenta, Kobayashi, and Marafuji will be in to help with the training. evaluate talent. They'll be on the show on their Saturday night, the 24th. I think there'll be a WWE scout stopping by as well.
Excellent.
Yes. And the big deal is two athletes will be picked for an all-expense-paid trip to Japan to live and train in Noah's Dojo for 3 months.
Excellent.
And with an opportunity, if it works out, to get a contract to work Noah, you know, on a regular basis, which would mean I'm not sure how many trips a year. But, yeah, it's a great opportunity. You can go to harleyrace.com and for more, you know, all the information and to sign up. But, yeah, it's a great time. We had a great time last year, and, you know, it is, again, a tremendous opportunity.
Yeah. You know, a lot of opportunities nowadays.
Yes.
A lot more than used to be in the past.
For
independent wrestlers.
Well, see, here's the funny thing is guys get released. Like here you had, 18 people get released, 15 wrestlers, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
Not released, but the Dudleys weren't released, but they were riding their contract out to the end.
Right.
But point is that puts good talent on the open market.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't really foresee anybody going heads up with Vince without actually having some of that talent. But that doesn't mean they still can't exist and survive and make a living.
Right.
So it's, you know, it may be like WWE is still the world and these are going to be the smaller satellites, you know. And with TNA, I'm not sure. You know, you're going to have to wait and see. There's a chance for them to knock on the door, but again, maybe that's pushing the envelope.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everybody's looking for a fresh face. I'll be one of the first to say that I agree 100%, but, you know, there needs to be improvement there, too, before they're really in contention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or going to make Vince sit up and take notice, I should say. Now, a lot of people think, you know, he's taking notice currently, and I mean, he knows what's going on out there. Somebody in the company knows, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
But, you know, no, I don't think they're feeling anybody breathing down their neck. And you know, but again, as I say every week, that's a good thing. Because I think competition will improve for, everything for everybody.
Yes, absolutely. Hopefully we'll get to see some of that this fall.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping for.
And you had something on the indie scene, something that went down.
I read in Dave Prazak. I don't know if he's from IWA Mid-South. He's the announcer, booker. He does a lot of things. He also ring announces over there. He had
managed, and Dave managed too.
Yes, he managed in Ring of Honor. He was in TNA.
Well, yeah, I know he did
Ring of Honor.
Yeah, does he manage in Mid-South too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And he didn't manage in Mid-South actually, but he pretty much ran a lot of stuff over there. He walked out last night. It says on his live journal, and he's quitting the company himself and the wrestlers Danny Daniels. I believe Kevin Harvey, the ring announcer, also walked out over BJ Whitmer's firing on Friday.
Yeah, you told me about that, and I'm surprised. I mean, BJ has worked for Ian for a long, long time for Mid-South, and they've had, as far as I know, a very strong relationship.
Yeah, BJ, I guess they had a difference of opinion over what the ending should be, and BJ ended up getting fired over that. This is what's this is the rumors that are going around. But what is true for sure is that Dave has walked out.
You know, in today's atmosphere, that's a distinct possibility and a very strong possibility because BJ and Jacobs are the Ring of Honor tag team champions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they, I mean, you know, you still have it's like. Raven can't take the NWA belt and go someplace and do a job.
Right.
It just doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so there's credence to that, you know. But, of course, then Ian, you know, it comes back down to, yeah, who's got the most valid, you know, point. And obviously in this situation, they both thought they did.
Mm-hmm.
That's a shame because I say they've worked together for a long time. I trained BJ. He worked hard to get where he's at. That's a shame. I'm sorry to hear that because he's worked for Ian for 4 years, 5 years.
About 5 years.
Yeah.
And Dave Prazak's worked for about eight, I believe, over there.
Gosh, I don't know. Yeah, a long time.
Payback's got some stuff to fall back on, though. He's got full Impact Pro he works for. He's got Ring of Honor. He's doing commentary for.
Well.
But the other, some of the other guys, Danny Daniels and B.J. Whitmer, I think, well, B.J.'s always got Ring of Honor, of course. Danny Daniels, you know, that was where I mainly saw him.
Uh-huh.
Was in IWA Mid-South.
Well, you know, I'm guessing because that's all I can do. But I know a lot of Ian does a lot of business with that video company.
Smartmark Video.
Yeah, Smartmark Videos.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm assuming that these guys are well paid to do these shows, obviously, because the tapes are out there on the market.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know. Now we were talking about Noah. BJ has made a couple trips to Japan a couple years ago,
mm-hmm.
So that might be something he might look into again. You know, again, see if that door is still open. That's a shame.
Yeah, as the wrestling world turns.
Yes, there you go. The drama behind the scenes.
But also, you know, again, never say never. Hopefully, everybody can work their stuff out.
Yeah.
Because it's best for the product and it's best for the company.
Sure.
Basically. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and you know what? Let's get Jerry Oates on the phone. Let's do an interview.
Let's do it.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, Jerry Oates from Georgia Championship Wrestling, he's going to be on the program. Stick around. It's Doc Young and Les Thatcher on Wrestling Weekly. Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. We've got Jerry Oates on the line from Georgia Championship Wrestling. Jerry, I want to thank you for being on Wrestling Weekly.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, I told Doc, Jerry, that you and I have known each other since the first day that your brother-in-law, Dickie Steinborg, put you out on the road to be a professional wrestler.
Yeah, and I made my first road trip with you.
That's right.
No way to start.
It was actually kind of a compliment. Dickie put him with Danny Miller and I because we knew we'd father him. Take care of him out there. But we ribbed him the first night. We stayed over in Tallahassee. I'll tell the story real quick. We've had guys. Fargo was on a couple weeks ago, Jerry, so he was talking about ribs. So.
Okay.
Anyway, Ken Farber, Doc, who was a referee in Amarillo as well. You heard Terry Funk talk about him when he was on the show.
Right.
Ken was on the road with us. So we, Danny and I were bunking together. So we put Jerry with Ken. And we never came out and said it. We sort of alluded to the fact that Ken might like young boys, which Jerry was at that time. And but the other thing was, Farber also snored like a bull elephant.
Oh, God.
And so, anyway, Danny Miller and I are dying. We think this is the greatest thing in the world. But the next morning, we go and knock on Farber and Oates' door. And there's Farber, but no Oates. God damn, well, maybe Ken ate him or what? What happened was he was still trying to sleep with one eye open as it was because he wasn't sure if Farber liked young boys. And then the snoring would let him. He went down in the car and slept in the back seat.
I swear I did. In Tallahassee, Florida.
Welcome to the NWA.
I quit for 2 weeks.
But he survived it.
And yeah, I survived it.
He turned into a hell of a hand and worked for the original Georgia Championship Wrestling as a wrestler for how many years, Jerry?
35.
Wow. Man, it's been a while.
It's been a while.
Yes. And the big thing, you got, how long have you been running now? You've got your own building down in Columbus. And
absolutely. We have our own arena. That's all that's held in that building is wrestling. We do it every Saturday night. We've been running, in May it was a year, so a little over a year now.
Good for you. And
excellent.
You use some of the TNA's talent. I mean, you use some good boys.
Yeah, we got some great talent. We've been blessed with talent. We use some of their talent. We get talent, from all over, really.
And then this coming Saturday night, the reason I'm coming down is because you're having the Fred Ward Memorial. And for those who don't know, Fred Ward was the man. He was a wrestling promoter in Columbus for, God, how many years, Jerry?
Right around 40 years, Les.
40 years.
Wow.
I know he was there the first time I showed up in 66, and well, and until the company went under, right?
Yeah.
Closed
yeah.
their doors. And used to do TV, was it the old car barn down on Front Street or down?
It was actually a mule barn.
Oh, okay.
Let me tell you what happened, if you want to hear this story.
Sure.
I passed by there about 3 months ago on a fluke, just passed by, and they were tearing it down.
I'll be dang.
And I went in that building for the first time when I was 5 years old. And I got out of my car. It was drizzling rain, and there was a guy on a bulldozer. And he saw me walking up, and he cut it off. I said, I want to ask you a question. He said, I know who you are. He said, ask me anything you want. I said, I used to wrestle in this building, and I said, I want to get some bricks. He said, get all the brick you want. And he saved me a sign. There was a sign still on the wall in there. And he said, you come back, and I'll have that sign there for you. So, you know, this brick meant nothing to anyone but me, but I still got them.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, if those walls could talk, because Les knows that building well, I mean, we're talking about from Gorgeous George to Dick DeBruzzo, Vern Gagne, Wilbur Snyder, Kaninsky,
Harley Race,
Briscoe, both the Funks. I mean,
Wrestling
it goes.
Oh,
all of them. I mean,
Andersons, everybody.
Everybody that was ever anybody in the wrestling game went through those doors.
Yes. Yeah.
That's where we did the TV.
Yeah.
And Columbus was the last live TV show
yeah,
in the country.
And then he ran the weekly shows in there, too, but first, and then...
Yeah,
and we went to the Coliseum on just the occasion for the big shows.
Yeah, but then later on, you know, after it got so big, we just used that arena there for TV on Saturdays, and then we wrestled here on every Wednesday night.
Yeah.
But we'll have some of his family there this coming Saturday, and...
I mentioned at the top of the show, the Grouch, the Grinch himself, Ole Anderson's going to be there.
Ole's going to be there. Bob Armstrong, Brad Armstrong, Bill Dromo, the Superstar, Greg Brown, the Oates Brothers. There's going to be 10 of us that actually wrestle and work for him.
Now, one thing, we just
mentioned. As well as you, Les.
Yeah. I wrestled that old car barn. I wrestled in the Coliseum, and then the last run through there in 73 and 74, co-hosted the TV.
You sure did. You did TV here.
Yep. So yeah, I've been down the whole road with Fred and Ralph and Leon and the whole crew. Yeah, there's a lot of memories there.
There'd be actually more than 10 of us there. 10, 12, probably 13 of us that actually worked for him in one form or another, so we're really looking forward to it.
Between you and Bob Armstrong, two basically local boys, I don't know if everybody knows Bob's from Marietta, Georgia, but Fred used you two guys even good before the main office up in Atlanta started using you good.
Exactly.
Yeah, he took care of both you guys and gave you a little push down there before you got a push anywhere else.
Yeah, he was a great guy, and we hated to lose him.
Yeah. Yeah, Fred was good people. You worked for how many promotions in that state besides your own?
In the state?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, just how many different promotions? Well, I mean, Georgia Championship Wrestling, World Championship Wrestling. What did Ann Gunkel call her company?
What was it called? I can't even remember that. I wrestled for her. And my father-in-law promoted wrestling in Savannah for Georgia Championship Wrestling.
Right.
Aaron Newman.
Yes. And that's where Bob Armstrong first got stiff with me, and I thought, my God, I didn't know he works his way all the time. we're going to have a good time. I'm looking forward to seeing those guys.
I am too. You know, I talked to Ole one night last week. He actually called me on his dime. He told me not to tell anybody, but I'm telling him.
He's mellowed a lot. I like
he really
it.
Has.
Yeah, I think it's funny because he's just, you know.
But you know what? You know what, Les? That was always in there.
Yeah, sure it was. You know, I just, with him and Watts both, Jerry, I was just, okay, that's just the way Bill and Ole are, you know.
But, you know, I told Ole that there were two people that I enjoyed wrestling for the most. and it was him and Bill Watts. And they were probably cussed more than by the other wrestlers than anybody, but you always knew where you stood with them. If you did your job, there was no problem. And you know that. You know that.
Sure, absolutely, yeah.
Bill Watts is pretty old school, huh?
Yeah. Pretty old school, you might say that.
He was the principal of the old school.
Well, that's what we run here.
Yeah. Excellent.
That's the way we run.
You and Ted got back together and tagged, a couple weeks ago for the first time?
June the 2nd, I think it was. That was the first time that we had wrestled in Columbus in 20 years together. And we hadn't even seen each other in 8 years.
I'll tell you what, Doc, some of the best fights you ever see was Ted and Jerry against each other. And it wasn't Republicans.
But we got all our differences ironed out. As a matter of fact, I just spoke with him, and he's going to be here Saturday night as well.
Good. I look forward to seeing him.
Yeah. He's excited about seeing you.
What got you, for those who don't know, Jerry ran one of the best bodybuilding gyms in that part of the country for years in Columbus.
Well, I appreciate that.
Well, you did, man. And ran a great contest, which I was privileged to be an MC for, Southeastern Bodybuilding Championships, MPC. You don't do any bodybuilding shows anymore, do you?
No, I quit it. I kind of miss it in a way, and then in a way I don't, you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I haven't been around a show in a long time either. But, yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. It was... you had some good shows and had people that moved up, and I mean, it was... a good regional show.
Yeah, we did it 10 years. And as well as you know, you'd come down yourself, and we always had great posers, guest posers.
Sure.
We was the first one to bring Rachel McLeish to the South, Lance Dreher, Mike Ashley.
Linda Murray,
Janet Tech.
Ron Love,
Rich Gaspari.
Yeah.
So. You know, I always try to give back to the fans and to the people competing to get to see these people. So I think we did a great job.
Yeah, I tell you what, you ran one of the tightest shows.
Well, I took pride in that lesson. I think I learned that from being in the wrestling game all those years, you know. I've been to bodybuilding shows. I know my wife, Kathy, and I went to Atlanta one night. I was an NPC judge. And they drug that thing out and drug it out. We didn't get out of there after midnight. You know, as much as I liked it, it was too much. But I always try to run a tight show and, you know, keep the audience entertained. And
yes.
I think we did that. And I even had competitors tell me that competed all over the Southeast here. They would come up and tell me, say, "This is, you guys run the best show we've ever been to." And that made, you know, you feel good, and we took pride in that.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a compliment.
It is. And, you know.
Listen, if you're within range of Columbus, come on down next Saturday night. I don't come down any Saturday night, but the point is, I haven't been there yet, but I know you're going to see a professional show because he may not be as loud as Bill Watts, but
Well, speaking of that, Eric, his son's going to be on the card. He's going to be on the main event.
Well, then you can yell. He's used to it.
Yeah, he's used to it. He just rolls his eyes when I get the... No, I'm not quite that bad, but but we Les and I were around some of the masters, and
yes,
you know, you let some of it rub off and some of it you don't. But
you and Teddy had a good run in Kansas City as the tag champions there, and then you had a good single run. Speaking of Watts, in Oklahoma territory,
I really did. And then I did well out in Oregon with Jesse and. But you know, my brother and I hadn't actually wrestled together in 12 years, and we got in the ring the other night. I mean, we had people in Columbus that come just to see if we were going to get into it, you know. But you know what? I can honestly say we didn't miss a beat. It was just like we had done it,
just like,
you know, night in and night out.
I heard that. Well.
And I was shocked, and I think the fans enjoyed it, and we really did.
Oh, I'm sure. You know, that's... I always say this is a drug there's no rehab for.
Well, you know, it's funny. My wife and I were talking about that, I think it was as early as last night. You know, it's not such as much of an ego thing, but it's something you love to do, and it's a high that's not for sale.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not for sale. And it, you know, somebody, you know, whether you're a NASCAR driver or an entertainer on the stage singing, or you can't buy that high. It's just because you love what you're doing.
Right. Doc, Kathy, Jerry's wife, she was a professional ice skater.
Really?
Yeah, very beautiful lady, and I think she's blind because she married Jerry.
Kathy's blind because she married me. She's still gorgeous. She makes me chop up ice so she can skate outside for, you know.
She's an athlete, too. She taught aerobics classes in the gym. They was a family-run gym. And then you got out of the gym business, and you thought, Jesus, I'm sane. I think I'll start a wrestling company, right?
Right. I don't have anything else to do.
Again, right.
But she's still training people. She goes to their home. And
yeah, good.
We got a place at the arena. She trains girls there. And not to wrestle, to work out.
Where do you lift at?
Huh? I go to Gold's Gym, and I got some. I kept some equipment, and I work out at the arena.
All right, good. So how many does your place seat?
700.
All right. So it's a nice little arena.
It's the atmosphere. Less. I think you're going to be shocked. Even Ole and everybody that has come here, they don't believe the atmosphere. It, no matter where you sit, you have a great seat.
Good.
It's just the atmosphere of the whole thing. You know, it's not like a high school gym where the lights stay on. We have our ring lights. We have spotlights, strobe lights. I mean, it's a show in itself.
Excellent. You got TV down there, too.
We have TV, right?
Excellent.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I know this, Doc. When we used to do we used to do walkthroughs on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
For the bodybuilding show, part of the reason I went down a couple days early was to tranquilize him.
Right, I'd be wired when it left out here.
He was cranked, man. But I mean, that's honestly, you know, that's Jerry. We talk about that on the show all the time. The guys who've been successful in our business are the guys who have a passion for it and a thrive. You know,
well, you have to, and. Is, you know, like our bodybuilding shows, like you were elaborating on a while ago. But the beauty part of what I did, I surrounded myself with good people. Like when Les would come down from Cincinnati, I'd have to tell Les anything. He knew. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, and Les and I had a good chemistry together, and it just worked great. And I'm looking forward to him being here for this big event Saturday night.
Yes, I like working with professionals, and that's not blowing smoke, Doc. That's true, and that's one of the things from our generation that you either learned or you didn't survive.
But the main thing is, I think, Les and Doc, is having pride in what you do.
You're right.
You know, just to say that I'm going to have some wrestling matches every Saturday night, well, that's one thing, but to do it right and to bring in the best talent that's available out there to us, that's what we do.
You know, one of the things that I preach to the kids that I work with in the training camps is that, you know, we can sing the song and, you know, do this for the TNA or the WWE or do it for God or do it for Vince, but do it for yourself. Do it and take pride in what you're doing. And that's the bottom line. I think that's what's missing in a lot, too. I think a lot of guys just say, well, you know, we sing this song. It's been sung for years. It's too easy to get in the business anymore.
Exactly.
And so you're not forced to respect it.
But here's the thing, and it's they don't have anybody to teach them anymore. You know, night after night.
Right.
You know, like when I started in Florida, when you were down there, when I was traveling with my brother-in-law, all the way home. No matter where we were, in Miami or Jacksonville or Tampa or Galley or wherever we were, he would preach to me all the way home what I did wrong.
Right.
Not what I did right.
Exactly.
You should have done this at this time, you know, and that, you know, and you have to absorb that.
Sure. No, you're right. You know, I've often thought, don't you wish you'd had one of those little hand cassette recorders from the first day you stepped in a car with somebody?
Can you imagine what that would be worth?
Oh,
I mean,
my God.
It would just be. But I think our era, the guys really cared. There were no contracts. You know, you had to earn your money.
Right.
Uh, And the veterans were willing to, most of them were, I'm not saying all of them, but nearly all of them were willing to help the young guys. And you know, it was a great brotherhood then.
But it was also, you know, the thing that we had that the indie kids don't have too, is so often it's, they're working with the guys that they came in with, they're working at the same level, and they really don't know what their mistakes are.
Exactly.
And that's where, well, Jerry's a kid compared to me, but the older guys, that's where, Jim Dillon said, if it weren't for the guys from our generation that were teaching, and once we're gone, then it's gone.
And it really will be. And what we do here in Columbus is we don't try to emulate anybody. You know, we don't try to imitate or copy anybody.
Right.
And that's what our fans respect. The biggest compliment for me that we receive, and my wife hears it, and all of the people that are involved with us here, is that's wrestling the way it used to be.
So
that's what we want
to
hear.
Yeah. So if you go down to Georgia Championship Wrestling, you go to a show, you're not going to see no weddings.
You're not going to see a funeral.
You're not going to see evil promoters.
And our main thing is family friendly.
Mm.
And we have so many kids. I mean, just so many kids that come to our matches. That's what we want.
Yeah.
You know,
and they love it.
Yeah. That's I think a lot of the smaller independent promotions, the younger guys run them, don't realize that a big company can isolate a certain portion of the trillion people in this country.
Well, that's exactly right.
You know,
we can't do that here.
Yeah, but any small company, you've got to draw across the board.
Because, you know, I was born and raised here because I was gone for many, many years, but I have to walk the streets here.
Right.
And, you know, people know who I am, and I don't want people saying, that's the guy that promotes that stuff out there, you know. I don't want that.
That's the guy that has the strip club down
there. Right. But, you know, I mean, we had girls here last night, and they dressed respectable, and they act like ladies in the ring, and, well, I mean, I don't put up with it, that's all. Unless it ain't been here, and he'll tell you that.
No, the other thing is, what you force on these kids is to actually learn to work.
That's what we're here for.
Because you're not living, I mean, the gimmicks and the sideshow atmosphere is not what you're trying to sell. You're trying to sell the product itself.
Yes, it says that's not wrestling.
Yes.
I got a couple questions from the chat room. Chris B. wants to know, how different was it teaming up with a family member other than any other person? And were there any squabbles and occasions where you guys didn't see eye to eye?
My brother and I, you know, my brother and I have had many, many personal differences,
mm-hmm.
but when we stepped in that ring, as a matter of fact, we got in a fight one night in Atlanta in the dressing room. And we went out there in the ring and wrestled, and nobody ever knew that we had it. Was the referee went to our opponent, said those brothers over there fighting. They got kind of nervous, but other than that, my brother and I never had a minute's problem in the ring. Mm-hmm. Never, never.
That's called being a professional.
Yeah. Exactly.
I saw this, the Scots. George and Sandy Scott, legitimate brothers. I have seen a referee come in carrying a finish, and I don't remember who it was, but we'll say George is in the dressing room, and he'll give George the finish, and George say, okay, better find Sandy and give it to him, too, because they weren't speaking to each other.
They wouldn't ride together.
But the minute they got in the ring, they worked together like they'd been practicing for a week.
and that's the way we were. And it just worked. You know, I mean, we always got along.
Mm-hmm.
But I had some good partners out there, different places. But I think, you know, we were trained by the same person, and then, of course, we wrestled together every night, and I just thought we were a good team.
You know, that's something, too. They talk about good tag teams. The fact that if you were a team back then, we were working 5-6 nights a week.
Exactly.
So you were getting a chance to work off of each other, and it became to where you didn't have to talk about a lot of things. You just did them.
It's like we get some. I mean, you know, some of the guys that we've used, they hadn't been back, you know, from lack of experience. But the thing about it is, I let some of these kids. I said, "How long have you been wrestling?" They said, 8 years. 8 years. They've had 40 matches in 8 years.
Sure.
Yeah. And they say they've been wrestling 8 years. You know what I'm saying? When wrestling, I said, we've been wrestling 10 years. That was every night.
Mostly, yes, absolutely.
I mean, you know, and a lot of them, there's a lot of good talent out there that don't get enough ring time to,
you know. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, I know with the kids that I trained when I had the company here, my story was, I need to see you in my, even if you're out wrestling in shows, I need to see you in my practice ring twice a week, even if we were running TV and a house show ourselves. Because you need to be in that ring at least four times a week to keep sharp.
They don't understand it.
A good example is the chorus line girls, the dancers, or male dancers for that matter, in the shows in Vegas. They work two or three shows a night, and yet you'll still see them in the afternoons two or three times a week, and they're practicing.
Well, that's just like Kathy when she skated a Holiday on Ice. I mean, they skated every night, and they had matinees on Saturdays and Sundays. And she said they'd get to a town, they'd go out there and practice.
Sure.
You know, I mean.
And you know what? Tom Brady, who has been MVP in two Super Bowls and wearing three Super Bowl rings, is going into practice this week and bust his butt the same as the rookies. And there's a reason for that.
That's right.
Because you've got to stay sharp.
You have to. I mean, but there's a lot of good talent that just don't get enough, matches during the week. And but we've been blessed. Nearly all of our guys wrestle during the week, and they're real sharp guys. I think you could be impressed.
Oh, I know. You use some of the upper crust of the independent talent. I know you do, and I'm looking forward to it as always. Jerry used to come up. We used to go up to the Arnold Schwarzenegger Classic too, Doc. And besides the wrestling business, we've hung out a little bit.
Yeah, Les and I, it's one of those relationships that you may not talk every day or every 6 months, but we've managed to stay in touch with one another. It's just
speaking of that, Jerry, can you loan me some?
I got $8.
Double T, he wants to know who you consider the best tag team in the Georgia area during your time wrestling there. It's a tough one.
No, it's not.
No?
No. The Assassins were.
The Assassins. Excellent.
Yeah, and they were
I think Les was better. Oh, there was, but I mean, as far as, you know, an all-around package, when Tom Ernesto would give an interview, to me, he was one of the best. I don't know if Les agrees with that.
No, I think Jody and Tom, and the thing that is they talked with intelligence. They were heels, but they talked to you like they were professors at Harvard University.
Yeah, but Tom sounded like a Philadelphia lawyer.
Yeah.
He never screamed. He never hollered. That's what I tell these guys. You don't have to scream and holler to get a point across.
No.
You know, some of our guys will go out there and start screaming and hollering. I said, why are you mad? You know, why are you mad? They don't get it.
No.
There's no reason.
No. There's the other thing, Jerry. A lot of these guys just imitate.
That's what I was saying earlier. We don't imitate anybody. But, you know, you can't teach somebody to talk. You know, either
right.
You can or you can't.
Right. Yeah. But you don't know. You know, but so many, you're right, so many of these guys, you have to scream. And at some point, even back in our day, when everybody was doing a yelling interview, it's like they all ran together.
It was the same, just somebody else doing it.
Exactly.
It was all the same.
Exactly, exactly.
And that's why Tom was, to me, just a master at it.
Tom was a great. But, you know, when he says the Assassins, those guys drew money in every territory they were in.
Everywhere they went.
Yeah.
Everywhere they went. I mean, they topped the list. Of course, the Andersons, Gene and Ole were great.
The Torres brothers.
Those brothers.
Yes.
There were a lot of brothers, but I mean, there were a lot of great teams. But
Shane and Bill Watts were a hell of a team.
They were a good team.
Yes.
Buddy Colt and Billy Spears.
Wrestling
I mean,
one and two.
No, they were great. I mean, you know that. But when you actually, to me, the elite was Tom and Jody.
Yeah. They were good. They were very, very good. There's no doubt. That's what some of my kids that got signed to developmental contracts that are going to Atlanta, I said, you'll love Jody. He's just like me, a bigger copy of me.
Right.
But he, you know, yeah, I would think, I said, you know what, I learned a lot from him when I first worked with those guys in 63, because they were just so easy to work with.
They were.
Yeah.
And the thing about the younger talent now, you know, the only way you can get better is wrestling guys that are better than you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's right.
More experience, and but some of these guys, you know, some of these, like Les said, these young kids that just put on shows, they have no clue what it's about.
No.
Not a hint.
Do you watch any WWE, TNA, anything that's going on
no.
like that?
No. I couldn't tell you who's up there. I have guys that, did you see so-and-so? I don't even know who they're talking about. No, I don't watch it. No.
He's busy making money in Columbus, Georgia.
Exactly.
I just, I've made this comment before. There's better talent sitting at home that's out there on the road now.
Yeah.
There's some great talent sitting out there.
You're right. And no proving grounds.
No proving grounds.
No, none at all. That's the sad part.
You know, you can work out with the best trainer there is or teacher there is, but until you actually get in that ring in front of a crowd, that's the only way you can get experience.
Jerry, I've been saying since the time that they, when they were downsized and took our contract, I said what they need is like 4 or 5 developmental territories and be able to switch the guys, and like these 15 guys they let go, instead of letting those guys go, send 2 or 3 to each one of those territories to help the little shows draw and to help train to work with the younger guys.
That's the only way.
Yes.
You know, it's like baseball, you know. Now even the NFL has a European league.
Right.
You know, that's, you know, you got to get that experience, and in our generation, Les, we got it the hard way out there every night, but that's the way you get it.
You got the grind. And with the veterans who told you the first time nicely and the second time not so nicely.
Yeah, exactly.
So you remembered.
Yeah.
You remembered, man.
There were so many great guys.
Before I forget this, tell the listeners where they can call for tickets for George Chambliss, or give them the website or how to all the contact information.
Okay. They can reach us at area code 706-289-8670, or they can go to our website, gcwaction.com.
Excellent.
And there's show every Saturday night, but this one is the special one.
This is special to a lot of people.
That's right. Jerry's going to put me over 2 straight in the
exactly.
In the dressing room.
That's right. But, Doc, if you ever get down this way, we'd love to have you, man. It's I think we have a great thing here, and we've been blessed, and we work very, very hard at it.
Plus, the Southern hospitality is good, Doc.
It sure is. Mm-hmm. Got a lot of fried chicken down there.
All right. Well, Jerry, we appreciated having you on the show.
No, I appreciate you guys having me on.
Man, a great interview.
Give Kathy my best, and I look forward to seeing you about 5 or 6 days.
Be looking forward to seeing you guys.
All right, brother.
Thank you.
Right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
All right, that's Jerry Oates from Georgia Championship Wrestling on Wrestling Weekly. It's Doc Young and Les Thatcher. We're going to be back in just a little bit here on Wrestling Weekly. Stick around with us.
You're listening to WrestlingWeekly.com. We always have the scoop on the inside of professional wrestling.
Don't listen to me, people. You can find out for yourself right now at home.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. Les, how'd you like SmackDown this week?
Hey, I tell you what, I liked Eugene and Angle. I really did.
Yes, you know, Eugene has gold now.
Yeah, here's the deal. If you're going to have comedy, this is the type, and this is enough within itself. Eugene is a feel-good character, you know, the underdog, the character you like to get behind. The way that the deal worked with Angle, you know, with him getting counted out or just couldn't make it back by, you know, for 3 minutes left.
Right.
He really didn't get beat. It didn't hurt him. Eugene got over great. The funny part was seeing Angle, the intellect, trying to tell the guy who's supposed to be stupid, you know, that he didn't really beat him. And, of course, Eugene, I got the medal and I beat him, you know.
Yeah.
And now, you know, but the good thing is, now if they leave it alone and they let this come along, I mean, that's a good foundation for Eugene coming back. And we're talking about building strong talent for the mid-card. Here's a chance to, now, don't bring him out this week and beat him in 3 minutes with somebody else,
right,
or even with Angle for that matter, right?
Right. They're going to have the Eugene Invitational tomorrow night.
Yes. I don't know what it's going to be, but like I say...
I hope it's not Matt Stryker again. Coming out. My name is...
You know, but some of the stuff I could have lived without. I mean, when I say this, they're going doing some of the sophomore comedy, which is just not my bag. That's my personal feeling, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody... there may be those that love it and those that don't, but that's just my personal feeling. If I want that, I'll turn on the Three Stooges or something. But, you know, like, I'm not against midget wrestlers, and I think they are useful on a card. They're entertaining on a card. Why not throw them in a little match together if you're going to fill time?
Right.
But they had that mixed tag. And then, of course, the Divas got to eat hot dogs, which was pretty exciting. You know?
But with the midgets, though, Cloacus, man, if they had a midget wrestling match, he wouldn't have been able to climb on top of big old Vince for the big midget splash.
Well, you know what? To tell you the truth, I don't know, with the exception of Lord Littlebrook's sons, how many midgets legitimately are good workers in the business today.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be a number years ago. And honestly, I don't know. Maybe in a lot, I know with a few that I worked with over the last 10 years, is they do a lot of comedy and nonsense simply because that's all they know.
Mm-hmm. Poor Cloacus, he fell off Viscera.
Yeah.
He kind of messed that move up.
Yeah. But I mean, like, Lord Littlebrook was just a solid worker. I mean, he was kind of a Ric Flair of the little guys.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And the hot dog eating contest, that actually made me hungry in for about 10 seconds. I really did. I was like, hot dog sounds good. And
you know, it's just, I don't know. It's goofy. It's whatever. Whatever.
It actually made me hungry. Like, seriously, for about 10 seconds, I was like, that sounds good. And then, and then they started shoving the hot dogs into their mouth. I was like, oh, my God, that's disgusting.
Honestly, I don't have any, if I run a fantasy league, I would want Carlito and John Cena to work with more experienced guys opposed to each other right at this point in time. Again, that would be my personal preference if I were the coordinator, the booker, the writer, whatever terminology you want to use. But it's just, John has got to come along in that department, and Carlito is still young and still learning too, And to me, that's, you need some good solid veterans. The Marty Jannettys, people that, the other thing is everybody's so upset about Michaels doing a heel interview. Why does he have to do a heel interview? To me, it's like he's saying is, hey, you people have drawn this. You're using Hulk Hogan as a yardstick by which to measure greatness in this business.
Right.
I've wrestled a lot of the top talent over the last 20 years, and this is one that fell through the cracks. It's one I haven't wrestled, so I want to wrestle him. Why does he have to, call him out for? Other than just that.
I don't know. Isn't that old school to have a heel in the face?
Well, sure, but I mean, but not always either. You can put Fez against O'Connor and have a great wrestling match.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not to say you're going to get, these two guys are going to have a great wrestling match. Hulk is no technician.
Right.
Let's face it. Point being is that, it can be, my example was the Tom Brady-led Patriots want to play the Joe Montana-led 49ers. Just to see who is the better team.
Right.
Right? We can show respect and shake hands before it starts, and at the bell rings, hey, it's a horse of another color. Right? It's every man for himself. There's work to that, right? But I think that's what Michaels is doing. It's sophisticated, maybe, and everyone hasn't caught on to it, but I maybe if he had a little help from the announcers getting it over or from, I don't know what standpoint, but to me that just, it's a little different flow. You've changed directions. You're doing, it has another feel to it. Everything doesn't have to be totally black and white if it makes sense.
I don't know, maybe I'm a mark, but when face and face...
What do you mean maybe? What's your point?
Okay, what I meant to say was, call me a mark, but, you know, when a face and a face, you know, go at it against each other, I just kind of feel like, I feel bad, I have to feel bad for at least one of them. Whoever's going to lose, you know, as a fan and fan standpoint.
Yeah. Well, you know, now, I normally wouldn't say this. I wouldn't say go out there and see which way the fans lean unless it was two guys that I was putting on a show that never were going to come back to that show again, right? I would say go out there and make the fans lean in a direction. If you know what, if you're a good worker, you go out there and make the fans go in the direction you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
But the point with this particular match, I would send Hogan and Michaels out there with that in mind, is play it the way that you feel them going for it,
mm-hmm.
you know? But honestly, I hope that Hulk puts Michaels over. I don't know if it'll be clean or on a, you know, whatever. I don't mean with a run-in, but I think, you know, Michaels is still working a full schedule or a steady schedule, and Hulk's not, and I just see the value in that.
Mm-hmm. Lawson in the chat room, he says that people don't want to see this match without a feud. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, again, it's like two dynasties, two great teams, two former World Series teams meeting in the World Series.
I thought you were going to say dinosaurs.
No, I was going to say dinosaurs. No, but see, that's the other thing too, is if you're going to play off of what people know, well, people know that Hulk's had a hip replaced, right?
Mm.
And Michaels hasn't, and Michaels is younger, and there's no harm in, you know, the veteran succumbing to somebody with a rule, you know, isn't quite as long as a tooth, if done properly. Again, this is an art form. Please, you know, and you know, Hulk is not a great technical worker, but he understands timing and understands pacing,
uh-huh.
you know, if he doesn't understand anything else. But I just, you know, I don't see a problem with the promo he cut this past week. None at all, you know.
No.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
Okay.
What do you think about SmackDown?
What I think about SmackDown?
I missed SmackDown this week, so
well,
you're going to have to catch me
know,
up.
Well, Eddie went with the deal where he's Dominic's father instead of, you know, that sort of thing.
And mm-hmm.
I could have lived without that. Listen, Eddie is a four-star actor, a five-star wrestler. I mean, if there is anybody in this company that can legitimately do it all and do it seriously, is Eddie Guerrero. I just don't see the need for that. Not with Eddie and Ray. They're too good of workers. They don't need that. They didn't need the soap opera extra. I think Eminem should still be the champions no matter if Animal's back to stay or not, because it just makes more sense. Because they're fresh, they're young, and they're going to be around for a while, so they need to be taken better care of, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there again, you know, the Battle of the Bands. Honestly, the Cena thing, well, I'm not a big rap fan or a hip-hop fan, but it wasn't bad. It was entertaining.
Mm-hmm. I was actually looking forward to seeing Fozzy.
Well, you know, I was too. Honestly, I was too. Did you see the documentary on MTV?
No, I didn't.
It was good. It was funny. It was good. That's been about 5 years ago, for God's sakes.
Really?
Yeah, it was done, between Thanksgiving and Christmas of 2000, I think, is when it aired originally. I don't know how many times it aired other than that. But, yeah, I think back around then is when it aired. But anyway, but I just, you know, again, your talent needs to be utilized in a more solid manner. The Mexicools, I mean, that whole thing is, why would the concession manager, first of all, why would these guys, I don't care what their nationality, be hanging out in the storage room with the concession stand? And the second of all, why would the manager, the concessions manager, mistake an Hoovy for a concession worker who is shirtless, which is a health code infraction, wearing sunglasses and a cowboy hat? See, I'm about detail. I don't mind, you know, I know that the movie I'm going to watch is not a shoot, right? I know it's a work.
Right.
Or it's an adaptation of something that might be real. But as long as you don't try to insult my intelligence, cool, you know. But, again, that's just my own personal opinion. You know, that whole other thing, it's just, you know, it's time they started wrestling instead of just going out there. And they're not the NWO. They're never going to beat the NWO,
right.
Which doesn't mean they're not good workers, but let's, you know, again, let's get some wrestling in.
Mm-hmm.
there, Doc?
Yeah, I'm reading something in the chat.
I hate to wake you up.
I'm reading something in the chat room right now, and they said, you missed SmackDown, Doc. Good for you. Another terrible show with only a couple highlights. That got my attention. I was like, okay, so I missed SmackDown. But, yeah, Mexicools. I like those guys.
Well,
I really
do. But the other point is they're against the stereotype, but they're acting like stereotype, which I'm not a brain trust by any stretch of imagination, but it just baffles me a little bit. Why? If I were fighting, well, now see, to me, Kerwin White is fighting the stereotype, right?
Right.
In the total opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, if you listen to the promos, they're both going in the same direction, just in different ways.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
See, where I'm about logic. I don't mind, unless we're writing Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, let's keep it close to real. You know, and if it's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, tell me that too, because I'll probably be changing channels. I mean, not that I, because I don't turn wrestling on to see Charlie and the Chocolate Channel.
Right.
And I think I think maybe they've overdone Matt Hardy's run in, so let's move on. You know, although I will say that Edge and Kane have done, they've had some good matches. But I think it's, what more can you do? Kane has gotten to her a couple times. I think anything that he does from this point is anticlimactic, right? She can't have a change of heart and go back to him.
Right.
She can't reveal that actually the baby was born just 18 months too early or something. You know, I mean, there's nothing goofy can be done with the thing anymore. So I think it's time to put Hardy and Edge at least face-to-face on promos or something, and I think that's what... it's needing right now.
Yeah, you got a point. The Matt Hardy run in. So.
Yeah, well, and at some point it's like, okay, we just don't want him in the building, right?
I mean, exactly.
Yeah, So anyway, yeah, but that's the long and the short of it.
Well, let's do this. Let's take a quick break and let's go ahead and get Samoa Joe on the line. I know he's waiting for our call.
Okay. Let's
anxiously,
do that.
And you know Joe pretty well, right?
Well, yeah, I do know him. Yes, like I said at the top of the show, one of my favorite young performers in this business currently. Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's do that.
Okay.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher here on Wrestling Weekly. We're gonna take a quick break. We'll be back. Our featured guest Samoa Joe, coming up.
It's Wrestling Weekly Radio, broadcasting greatness every Sunday.
Woo! What a night!
It's Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. We have our featured guest on the line, Samoa Joe from TNA. I want to thank you for being on the show.
Hey, thanks, guys. Good to be here.
Hey, yeah, and, Doc, when you talk about a guy being star of stage, screen, radio, and so I saw Joe on Monster Garage on the Discovery Channel yesterday. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so he's a multi-media talent now. How did you hook up on that one, Joe?
Were you actually fixing the cars, or were they fixing your car?
No, they were fixing it.
No, I was wrestling. They made a U-Haul truck that turned into a wrestling ring.
Awesome.
And, yeah, they had me go out there and test it out for them. And, it was a really nice ride.
You have just signed with TNA and have impressed the people just like I expected you to do. But you were in the privileged position that you actually had a couple of directions to go, and I'm just curious why you picked the one you did.
For the most part, it's just a better fit for me.
Yeah.
And also, it was a little bit better financially for me.
Good.
And, also too, a big thing was, up and moving. I mean, I have, I'm kind of rooted nicely here in Southern California, and, as you know, when you go with WWE, you have to kind of head out there to Louisville or head out there to Atlanta. And, at this time, I just, really didn't feel that move was warranted, and I wrestle because I love to wrestle and I love pro wrestling, and it's one of my biggest passions in my life.
I know that.
But in reality, you have to take into account all those different factors and stuff, and it just right now the TNA deal in conjunction with still being able to work with ROH and still work with companies that I want to work with, and, you know, up and down, you know.
I figured that the Ring of Honor, being able to work there, still had a little, played a little bit into it.
It really did.
You can if you need to, too, right?
Absolutely. So, I mean, it left me with a lot more options. You sacrifice security for these options, but at the same time, too, you know, the money is a bit better. And, you know, I mean, the security isn't that great in WWE, too, because, I mean, it's really, the industry's changed so much that, you know, you never know. You can be on the chopping block within.
Well, you know, at the time when you signed, I kind of thought, whoa, I said, man, he's rolling the dice here, because unless you knew something the rest of us didn't, you know, nobody was sure that TNA was going to come up with that TV deal.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I can't say that I did. That was the risk, I guess, in it. And it still is a bit of a risk because, you know, we got to make the TV work now. But, you know, I kind of did what I felt was right for me and what kind of fit well for me, and that's the direction I went. And, you know, it was great when, you know, all the hype and the buzz was on me and Punk at the time that, you know, oh, you know, everybody's looking for us, all this stuff. But in reality, you know, you kind of had to push that aside and really sit down and hammer out what was the best situation for me. And you know, working with TNA was the best fit for me right now. So,
yeah.
And I've enjoyed it, and they've done really great things with me, and I've loved working there. So, I mean, you know, hopefully I'll continue to do so.
You posted on your website, oh, it's been a couple months back or whatever, that you were, I guess, the best thing, the easiest thing to say is you were burnt out a little bit and really contemplating maybe stepping away from the business for a while.
I actually was planning to. You know, like I said, wrestling is a great passion to me, and like they say, nobody ever really retires, which I was not even going to begin to throw that word out there, but I really definitely was going to seriously think about taking a considerable amount of time off and, you know, just live life and you know, get my finances straight and get some more money flowing in. You know, I had good money coming in at the time, but, I mean, you know, it was money to get by. You know, I'm
sure
one of the few people on the indie circuit who was lucky enough to have been making a living off of indie wrestling and not have to carry another, like, you know, day job. But, you know, it wasn't anything extravagant. And, you know, you get to a point where you kind of want a little bit more and you want a little bit more stability. So, you know, I really was considering taking a bit of time off. This came in lieu of New Japan, me having a really bad round of negotiations with me trying to go over there and money just being horrible for and what they were expecting me to do just being something I was really not up for. You know, it was really discouraging me at that point, especially since I spent a good, you know, 2-3 years working with New Japan behind the scenes at their Los Angeles dojo trying to get things going.
Right.
And, you know, being given the offer that they were giving me.
Hmm. Well, you know, sometimes, yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. We've all been down that road, too, where, you know, where that carrot should be there and it's not. And being burnt out is, I mean, believe me, I spent 20 years in the ring, and there were a couple times there that I thought, man, I just need to get away. You know, and we were going 5 or 6 nights a week.
Uh-huh.
But in terms of another option, I realized that I wasn't, you know, I couldn't possibly quit. Because
yeah.
It's, you know, it's just, it's, you know, I think there's one thing you and I certainly have in common. It's who we are. It's what we do.
Absolutely.
So, Joe, you made your debut after only 3 months of training. What do you attribute that to?
Actually, no, it was actually more than that. I had made my debut after about six months. Yeah, and I mean, it was because it kind of became an everyday thing. I mean, it got to the point where the guys who ran the school that I started in just kind of, I had the main set of keys to the dojo, so I'd always be there first. I'd always be the, you know, first one to be warming up and working on things and trying out. And, you know, for us, it was one of the things that, you know, if I enjoy it and I like it, then, you know, like anything I've ever done in my life, I really kind of stick to it and I really, you know, try to be the best I can be at it. And it helped out a tremendous amount, just being able to go in there. And the guy who broke me in, a guy named Cincinnati Red, you know, he was really, really supportive. He was always a really great influence. I mean, he was the type of guy that wasn't looking to lord over me in my career as I progressed. He was the kind of guy that was like, you know, hey, you know, I'll give you the tools. You have to expound on them, and, you know, I'll give you the solid fundamentals. You have to kind of go out there, and I'll give you good contacts with promoters who will treat you decent, and you'll get a good shot and a good look. But, you know, you have to kind of go out there and make your own way. And he gave me the tools rather than trying to paved the way for me, which I really appreciate, and I give all the respect in the world to him for.
Excellent. And hey, you're very athletic, you know, normally anyway. You were a football star?
Yeah. Yeah.
And California State Junior Judo Champion.
Yep.
I didn't know a lot of people knew that.
It was back in the day, before I got involved in football and stuff, when I got to high school, my dad had me doing all kinds of martial arts and judo, and judo I loved the most because, you know, it was just, you know, basically go in there, you throw the guy, a lot of throws, a lot of groundwork, a lot of submission work, and I dug it more than, like traditional conventional karate, which, mm-hmm. you know, it's all form and katas and punch and air, but, you know, in judo, you get in there, you lock up with the guy, and, you know, see who goes down first, and, I mean, I really dug that, and it was a lot of fun for me, so... you know, it definitely was a factor in me becoming a pro wrestler because, you know, I'd not even went to the wrestling school to be pro wrestler. I actually went there to go do jiu-jitsu, and they asked me to stay after and check out the pro wrestling class, and I did, and I loved it, and
excellent.
Went from there.
Your family is from the entertainment background, right?
Yep. We have the largest Polynesian dance troupe in, I guess, the Western Hemisphere. But my parents didn't have a Polynesian dance troupe here for about 32 years, and you know, before I even started wrestling, I traveled all over the world with them. I did tours in China, Europe, all across the United States, and you know, I've been that's you know, the show basically was our family. You know, my dad, I had a big family, we had 7 kids in the family, and you know, the best babysitter was putting the kids to work. So you know, my boss and my mom were already working in shows. They made their own, and they already had a staff on hand. Hell, they had 7 kids. So, you know, that was our thing, and that's what we did.
So you danced with the troupe, or did you just travel with them?
No, I danced, and there's no free ticket. There's no free ticket around here. You got to get out there and earn your meal. But, you know, it was fun. It was, you know, a great experience, and, you know, my parents are still doing it, and my family's still heavily involved with it. I'm not, of course, because I'm gone all the time. But, you know, every once in a while I'll sit in and, you know, have a little bit of fun, but... it definitely prepped me for the career of pro wrestling because, I mean, it's a lot of the same thing, a lot of long hours on the road, a lot of traveling, a lot of, you know, putting on the happy face when you don't want to and getting out there and entertaining people.
Was that troop involved with the 84 Olympics?
Yes, we were. Did the opening ceremony where I made my debut because we needed to stall for time.
Uh-huh.
And the dressing rooms, of course, you know, the stage is midfield at the Olympic Stadium in L.A., and the dressing rooms are quite far away, and the girls were running their ass off to kind of make the costume change and get back out there. So my dad grabbed me by the scruff of my neck and threw me over the front of the drums to go out there and stall kids. So I had to go out there and the cute little kid had to dance and stall for the crowd while the girls made their way out.
That's excellent.
Listen, I was privileged to see the first 60-minute Funk Samoa Joe match, and you should feel good, I think, or I'm sure you do, that what you've done to legitimize the Ring of Honor championship belt.
You know, I did. You know, I think the program that, you know, when I was starting with the ROH championship, you know, it really was not planned out to be a big, long deal. I think as time progressed, Gabe started looking at me and says, you know, I have to keep running with this. I think, you know, we can do something with this. I think we can, because Gabe was really looking to establish the belt. And, you know, at first I think he thought it was a good idea to put it on me because it was something different and I was somebody new and you know, it would kind of be a shock to the system. But, you know, as I kind of settled in with it, you know, we just decided to run with it. And, you know, the two matches with Punk were a big part of that, you know, for sure. But then after that, you know, just a constant string of really great opponents and, you know, being able to have, you know, pretty good matches with them and, you know, the fans enjoying them. So,
what you did, though, proves the point, too. It's kind of like the Benoit Angle matches, that if it's done properly, the slower build, the psychology, everybody, you know, it's, well, this is a different generation, nobody's buying it, but they damn sure are buying it, and it's just a matter of who's trying to sell it, and you guys did just a beautiful job. And I tell you, I don't know if I told you or not, Doc, my wife and I were up here for the show, and I presented Joe with the new championship belt, which was also, I was quite honored to be able to do that. And it was warm, and this building is not air-conditioned, and she was starting to feel it. And I said, well, let me watch 10 minutes of this main event, you know, and then we'll go home.
Yeah.
And 60 minutes later, we were still there. Damn, Joe and Punk wouldn't let me go home because they had me hooked in, too. And I'm a hard sell. No, you, listen, if anybody ever tells you you're not hardcore, if that damn Gabe Sapolsky isn't a hardcore booker, you tell him I said, kiss my butt. you guys are as old school as it gets. No, I mean, seriously, you're a breath of fresh air because, I mean, you can get up in the air and he can move, Doc. But the point is, he builds his match around psychology and he tells a story. That's the key to the prison.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, and you know the other thing too, just as far as title and stuff like that, is that, you know, I think one of the biggest mistakes, you know, and like I said, I'm not one to criticize WWE because they've made billions of dollars and I haven't made nearly that much, but I think the biggest mistake, and I think I've talked to you about this less before in the past, is that, you know, sometimes you got some of the most talented wrestlers in the world. Sometimes you have to let them just get out there and wrestle and do it on their own. You know, they don't need a setup. They don't need a story in the back. Sometimes you just need to let them go out there, get in the ring, and they'll tell the greatest story they've ever told. You know, if you just give them a shot and give them a little bit of time and let them run with it, and let them do what they want to do, and let them do their thing. And you know, that's probably one of the only real things I'd really like to see them do more. Is just, you know what, take the bridle, take the bit off, take the constraints off. You know, of course there's always TV time, which is a big consideration, but let them go out there and do their thing and let them build something themselves in the ring and not have to start with somebody spilling coffee on somebody else in the back or some silly premise that, you know, really,
sure,
really two guys would never fight that hard about. You know?
And just feel the people, right? Because that's exactly what you were doing in Dayton, that first 60-minute match you guys went.
Mm-hmm.
You were just, I mean, you were controlling the people, but the point was, too, is that you speeded it up or slowed it down in conjunction with how you could see you were playing off of them. And that's, again, is the key to the difference of working in the top of this industry and raising the curtain every night.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Boy, I bore you guys at bad, did
you? No, I didn't listen to you. I'm just checking you out. How was your DNA debut when you defeated Sanjay Dutt? What was it like that night?
My TNA debut?
Hmm?
You said DNA.
TNA.
They were getting a little weird CSI vibes. You know, it was really great. I think a lot of people, you know, TNA, I think, more or less, they had just been told constantly by AJ Daniels, you know, you need to hire Joe, you need to hire Joe. And then, like, you know, they had approached me a few times, but at the same time, it was always, you gotta ditch ROH, you gotta do this, you gotta do that, because, you know, they had their problems, mm-hmm. whatever. But, you know, they've gotten over it, you know, thankfully. And finally, you know, when they brought me in, they're like, you know, I think it was mainly just to kind of placate AJ, because, you know, he was just so adamant about it, and Chris Daniels, too, that, you know, I think they were expecting something, but I think they were kind of like tongue-in-cheek, like, all right, let's see what this guy's all about. And, you know, went out there, did the match with Sanjay. Sanjay's awesome. And I think we got the point across that they wanted to get across. And basically said, you know, go out there and establish yourself. You know, we need something, you know, we're bringing in, you know. And I told this in my deal before I started with TNA when I was on the phone with Dixie and Terry Taylor. I said, listen, I don't want you guys to waste money on me. You know, I want you guys to feel good when you hand me my paycheck, you know, every week. You know, I want you guys to hand me that paycheck with a smile on your face, not kind of begrudgingly give it to me. And they were like, okay, well, awesome. You know, that's a nice attitude to have. But in reality, that's what I really wanted out of them. And so we went out there, and, you know, they seemed to like it very much, and they got really excited about having me in the company from then on. And, you know, it just went real well.
Excellent. We're going to take some questions from the chat room if you're ready.
Okay.
Chris B. wants to know, what were your thoughts when you were told you were dropping the title to Austin Aries after holding it for a year and a half? And did you feel that Austin was the right person to drop it to?
Yeah, I did. I was actually excited about it, because after lugging around a 15-pound belt, which is about the security, for a year and a half, it's a welcome relief. And I mean, I have seen the worst, I have met the worst TSA security workers across this great nation,
mm-hmm.
and they have all pulled that belt out, and, like, I mean, at the point where, like, they pull, you know, take my bag behind the little security screened area, and I, like, see, like, picture flashes going off, and, like, I'm wondering, yeah, and I look over there, and, like, they're also there posing with it and stuff.
yes.
But, you know, it's like, it's, yeah, and then asking me to please step back behind the security screen, because, you know, I'm just like, you know, but, but Austin at the time, I think, you know, the match came off good. I think Austin was a great choice. I think, you know, he's a guy like me who really didn't have a real big following on American Indies, but I think afterwards, after, you know, got the belt, got a lot of focus on him, and I think he delivered. And, you know, I think a lot of people consider him one of, you know, the preeminent workers that are going around right now and working. I think he's a tremendous wrestler. Mm-hmm.
And who are you most excited about working with in TNA?
You know, I'm excited to actually get an AJ match, you know, out there to the TNA fans, the people who have never seen us work before, and, you know, various other promotions worked in. You know, I'd also love to work Monty Brown. I think that guy is on the cusp of just of doing something big. I think, you know, I think I can get just a ton out of him, a ton more than what people have really seen. I don't think he's even scratched the surface on what that guy is about and can do.
Oh, yeah. Monty's a favorite of the show, and by show, I mean me.
Uh-huh. you know, you got guys like Abyss. I'd love to work Abyss, you know, some of the bigger guys. At the same time, you know, Daniels too. Like, anytime me and Daniels ever got in a ring, it's always been pretty good. And, you know, up and down. Saban, I'd never worked Saban before until the last pay-per-view, and man, I was ecstatic about how that came off. I was really excited about working.
You guys had a great match. Have you ever worked with Raven before, with Scotty?
Once.
Yeah.
And it was up in Canada. And with Mick Foley, a special guest referee, and it was okay. There was more hilarity because we were trying to get this match over with because we all had a flight to catch within the hour. So literally, we dressed in the car as we were going to the airport because the booker booked the flights out the same night. So, you know, he didn't be there early for international flights, which he didn't take into account for. But you know, I'd love to get a shot at Scotty in the TNA ring and. You know, he's dreading it, but, you know, that's Scotty.
You know, to me, and, of course, it's my own, my personal opinion, is I wouldn't tag you with the X Division simply because I think that's limiting because you mentioned Monty Brown and Scott Raven, and Abyss, and I see you with that crew, too. I see you as a contender for the heavyweight title, and that's, you know, but, again, I'm not booking the thing, so.
Well, you know, at the same time, you know, I've heard that this from people before, like, you know, especially a lot of close friends, like, oh, you know, it's BS, it's kind of like, don't they treat that like a secondary division, this and that, but, you know, I've always been a big proponent that, you know, if you give me something to work with, I'm going to, you know, work it till the wheels fall off, you know, I'm going to try to get the most out of it as I can, and, you know, if I'm in the X Division, then I'm going to do what I can in the X Division, try to really, you know, boost up the X Division to where the point where, you know, maybe the X Division isn't really viewed secondary, where people are like, you know, people are tuning into their views to see that X Division title match, to see that X Division match, to see, you know, what's going on in the X Division if Samoa Joe's in there, you know, and carry that over, you know, to the heavyweight division. You know, I definitely want to earn my wage and do my best that I can do for the company. And, you know, like I said, I've expressed that to Terry, I've expressed that to Dixie, I've expressed that to Scott D'Amore, and I said, you know, if you give me something, and you want something done, just tell me what you need done, and, you know, work my ass off to get it done for you. And, you know, the X Division, they say they want to be there. Well, that's where I'm going to be, and that's where I'm going to, you know, do what I can do the very best I can.
What are your thoughts on TNA bringing in big names to draw instead of trying to bring up these younger, great talents? This is from our chat room. This is from Aussie.
You know what? I think you're always going to have that mentality that, you know, we can't really rely on these on the younger guys yet. We need the names to hook the casual, to hook the WWE fan, you know, in. And, you know, hey, that's just kind of like sound, you know, that's just kind of sound financial sense. I mean, fans who are, you know, hardcore fans of professional wrestling, they watch it on the internet, they know about ROH, they know about all the indies, they know what every guy's about and what they can do. You know, to them, it just seems ludicrous. You know, they're like, well, they should bring in this guy. He can do, you know, he's so much more awesome than this and that. But, you know, it's hopefully those guys are the bait, and when they see everybody else, that keeps them sitting in the seats, and that keeps them coming back for more. And that's kind of like the same approach ROH took with a lot of their shows. You know, they brought in a lot of names, and they still are, but it's always this. They bring in the name to hook the people, and then, you know, hopefully the guys on the undercard, they'll keep them coming back. You know, the younger guys will keep them coming back, and they'll be built into stars, and they'll gain new fans. And I think that's just a natural progression for wrestling.
Yeah, that's what I think.
There's always that temptation, though. I mean, you know, especially with WWE dropping so many talents like they are right now. I mean, it's always a pain because, you know, the job market thins out even more than it already is. And right now, this is the sparsest the industry has been. Probably in the history of the industry. I mean, there just are not a lot of places to work and make money. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of places to work, don't get me wrong, but not a lot of places to work and make money. So, you know, it's disheartening for a lot of the younger guys because, you know, you get to work that much harder for that much less. But at the same time, it's kind of just, it's just one of the, you know, just one of the, I guess, the dues that the new crew of young wrestlers has to pay, you know?
Yeah. Didn't you at one time host your own wrestling talk show?
Absolutely. Wrestling 101 on Comedy World. Fortunately, we were the highest rated wrestling, syndicated wrestling talk show, radio talk show in the United States. But
wow.
The company went under.
What years did you have that show?
Going into 2001, 2002, we were on for about 8 months, but our parent company, Comedy World, because they had tons of comedians under salary and stuff, they ended up going belly up and bankrupt, and we tried to get our markets back and try to sell our show somewhere else, but just to do it in time. But it also was when kind of like the pro wrestling popularity was waning, WCW just closing down, so it wasn't a good time to pitch that type of thing in the media market.
Right. Lawson in the chat room, he wants to know if you think TNA fans are more likely to have seen you in the Indies and Ring of Honor than WWE fans.
TNA fans, yeah. I mean, I think TNA has more of that cult underground following than I think WWE does. At the same time, too, I know when I went down to Orlando, I did my first taping, a lot of TNA fans were like, you know, we always heard about you. And now we finally see, you know, it's cool that you're here and all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
Very, very cool, very welcoming. I was really excited about it. But, you know, yeah, TNA fans, I think, would know me better than WWE fans. At the same time, you know, I've come across a lot of, I went to RVD's new comic shop opening here the other day and walked in there just to buy some comics and, you know, lend some support and say what's up. And, I mean, you know, about five or six dudes came, awesome, Mojo, you know, awesome, you know, it's cool. And you know, so there's WWE fans. So it's, you never know. I mean, wrestling fans are wrestling fans.
True.
In fact, you know, one of the things I've said, Joe, is this time slot. Everybody's fearful of it. I said that one thing that could be the positive is it could develop, you know, a new demographic of older wrestling fans who don't go out on Saturday night and who would stay home and watch the show.
Mm-hmm. Or guys who can't get a date.
Oh.
Like me. I'll be there watching. I'll be seeing TNA every weekend, I promise you. No, I'm kidding. Jay Sane in the chat room. Jay Sane, that's a weird name. But anyway, he wants to know, like, you had, when you were making your decision whether to go to TNA or WWE, also CM Punk was at the same time wanting to be, you know, courted by both companies. He wants to know if you talked to CM Punk personally about which company either of you guys would be going to in hopes that maybe you could be brought in together.
We talked about it every day. I mean, I remember when we first heard about it, we were at the gym in Florida, and Meltzer had reported, you know, about the Jim Ross memo that went out and stuff, and somebody had called him and told him, and we sat there and we laughed about it for a second, where, you know, it was very unexpected. You know, we both talked about it. Punk was already working, Dark Area, Dark's like already scheduled and ready to go. He worked for WWE. I hadn't really scheduled anything yet. I talked to Tommy, and Tommy was like, hey, let's get some stuff scheduled and get you a look and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I signed with TNA before that ever came down because I was going to wait for them to come out here to LA for obvious reasons. You know, we talked about it every day, but it was never a thing of, you know, we need to go on together. Because, you know, in reality, aside from the matches that we had, you know, Punk and I are drastically different character-wise and stylistically. So, I mean, it'd be kind of an oddball thing to kind of pair us together to bring us in somewhere, you know. As much as, you know, some fans would love it and all that stuff, it never really kind of occurred to us because, you know, as good of friends as me and Punk are, and I love the guy to death, you know, just Samoa Joe and CM Punk, the gimmicks kind of just don't match up, so it's a hard combo pitch. So we got a Samoan and a punk rocker who doesn't do drugs. All right, now listen to me. And, you know, I mean, it's just, I mean, you know, it's like, well, okay, here, all right. So the Samoan's the punk rocker sidekick, and it's a real hard pitch, you know. So basically, too, you know. We have two very different situations. personally. So, you know, we just kind of talk back and forth and ask each other's opinions on things. And, you know, constantly, still to this day, even now, we're both, you know, even though we both signed with our respective companies, we're still constantly talking back and forth and asking opinion and getting advice from each other. It's a good kind of sounding board to bounce ideas off of.
Tom from the UK, he wants to know if you like your new TNA entrance music or do you like the Champ Is Here better?
Oh, the Champ Is Here, come on.
Yeah, he said it seems kind of weird. It's trademark, and it's weird not hearing it.
Yeah, and the weird part is that I really don't get a chance to watch WWE TV much, and I had heard John was doing the championship thing, and then for the record, nobody stole anything from anybody. It literally was kind of an idea, even though I started using it first. it literally was kind of like a simultaneous idea that I think we both came up with, and you know, we think somewhat alike. Yeah, I didn't realize how much it was ingrained into his character in WWE. So I'm watching I sat down and was watching SmackDown because I'm on vacation this week, and I was like, my God, he really is using it. Like, he has his own shirt too. That's kind of I don't know, but yeah, definitely the Champ Is Here. I mean, that's just fun. And honestly, the TNA entrance music, I can't even tell you. I can't even tell you what they play when I go out there. I mean, I can barely hear it. Yeah.
Somebody said he only uses the Champ Is Here when he is a champion. In Ring of Honor, he used something different in between losing the Ring of Honor title and winning the Pure title.
Yes, I did.
Yes.
I did the Little Mama Said Knock You Out by LL Cool J just because I liked the song when I was a kid.
Yeah, that was a good song, actually. Yeah, I like that one, too. See, our chat fans are pretty smart. So they actually know all this. They actually know all this good stuff.
You got some more there, Doc?
I'm looking around.
You're looking around.
If you have anything to ask me.
I thought maybe Stacey Keibler was on the screen on...
They're actually talking about Stacey Keibler.
On Sunday Night Heat.
I don't blame them.
Chris wants to know what it was like training at the WWE Dojo, run by William Regal.
Oh, when Regal came, that was great. I mean, that was probably one of the most eye-opening experiences I've ever had. You start out in wrestling, and you kind of get your bumps down. You start doing a few things, and you get a good crowd reaction here and there. And honestly, you kind of think you know it all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not like I wasn't overtly walking around going, I am the bomb. I wasn't anything like that. But you know, you kind of do get this thing that you know what it's all about, and you get it. And we came in, and Regal did this camp with some guys out here in Southern California, and I realized I did not get it at all. And I shortly thereafter became his driver every day just so I could figure out a way to get it. And, you know, every once in a while I still give him a call this day and see if I can still get it, you know, and he's a tremendous help. And, I mean, an awesome wrestler, and he cares, you know, he cares about the sport, professional wrestling so much. And he's always willing to give back and always willing to lend an open hand and help out and give input and feedback and his thoughts and his ideas on things. He's always open-minded to what thoughts, you know, ideas you might have. And I give the guy all the credit in the world. He's a rarity, especially in this business when, you know, honestly, there just aren't that many people who are a wealth of knowledge like him, you know, even around to share with people like me and guys out in the indie circuit. And it's just a great resource for a lot of guys.
Excellent.
And you had the same experience with Steamer, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Ricky.
Oh, Ricky's great. Ricky's. Now, see, you would think with agents like Steamboat, and Arn and all these guys that, man, WWE would have, you know, their finishes locked down. I mean, these guys, I mean, they just, the Steamboat, but, you know, the third match being CM Punk had, I mean, Steamboat was, he just threw stuff in that, the ending sequence of the third match, and me and Punk were sitting there going, you're a crazy old man. You are out of your mind. You're a crazy, delusional old man who knows not what he's, I mean, when Steamboat told me to trip Punk's legs and put my feet on the ropes,
right.
Me and Punk, and this is after I've been at this big babyface champion for all these years, me and Punk both looked at each other, and like, he is gone senile in front of our eyes. I cannot believe it. You know, we're just like, you're crazy. What are you kidding me that you see about? And we walked away, and we came back 20 minutes later just to kind of, you know, talk it out. And I go, you know, it's a really great idea. And Punk goes, and he's like, oh, I was about to come back and say the same exact thing to you. So I mean, he's awesome. I mean, he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
He absolutely knows.
Well, you know, I think that's the key too, Joe, to a lot of the young guys having cop, and you and CM definitely have, is that there's more to it than just going through the moves. There is a psychology, and you're painting a picture, and the little subtleties like that, for example, are, you know, it's like one of the great things doing camps with Ricky is watch. It's the things that he does. The first night he worked his deal with Punk, Gabe called me the next day and said, "Oh my God, I want to book him every night." And he's telling me, he said, when they saw him getting ready, I said, "See, the key here, Gabe, is they saw him getting ready."
Mm-hmm.
He was teasing him with a setup for the chop, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
The slow burn to get mad. And I said, "That's the whole thing, you know, is the." What got him over was the subtleties, you know, not the big things that you would, you know, see on the surface, but the subtleties. And that's the thing that, well, you know, that first night there in Dayton, you guys were a little uncomfortable. I know when we were talking out in the parking lot that, you know, gosh, can we hold these people? And I said, basically, you got 50, let's look at the CM, you got to look at it this way. You got 58 minutes to get into your finish.
Uh-huh.
And just a slow build, and that.
Oh, and sure. I mean, we're sitting out there, and I mean, I'm literally thinking, well, you know, this was a drunken idea by me that you conned me into. I mean, and now, you know, and it was all like, ha ha ha. Yeah, we'll do a 60-minute draw. Yeah, this will be funny. You know, this will be great. And then, all of a sudden, showtime. I'm sitting there going, oh God, we really have to go out there and do 60 minutes, don't we? You know, and you were there last. I mean, it was a time where we were both kind of, me and Parker, both looking at it going, what do we get ourselves into? This is silly. This is ridiculous. But, I mean, it turned out well. And you know, what happens when you're out there for 60 minutes, too, is that either you're going to live or die out there. And you're either forced to get into your head and get into the match, or you never get into it and it just becomes a horrible thing. And I think, you know, we both kind of got our heads into it. And we both started reading and started working with that crowd and started doing, you know, started just going out there and wrestling. And, you know, we don't have time to trace it. It makes it a lot easier. You know, 60 minutes is a long time. It's a lot of time to go out there and do your thing. And you know, we just kind of took advantage of that and went out there and you know, worked with each other and worked against that crowd and tried to make something good happen.
It was a beautiful match. I mean, it really was. I didn't get to see it on Chicago. I didn't get to see it on tape. Now, I've heard people say it was a better match, and it would have had to have gone a hell of a long way to get much better. I mean, truthfully, no, Doc, he had these two guys had the people the last 20 minutes, I'm guessing. You know, they were on their feet.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was over, the fans kept asking for 5 more minutes.
Yeah.
And like I say, I'm a hard sell. Anybody that knows me, I am a hard sell. And I wasn't going home. In fact, I kept moving the clothes down closer to get a better look. It was that good. To me, it was one of the best matches of the year. I'd say that the top two or three, at least.
Well, thank you.
Well,
you know, funny. Yeah, a funny story about that match too is that my girlfriend's father, he's a preacher, and there's another preacher who had just come from somewhere in the middle of the deepest, darkest Africa, and it was his first time in the United States, and he had come out here, and the father basically drove directly from the airport, drove him out here to, you know, come by and stop by and see the show and check out, and he walked in right there on the match, and he sat there for the entire 60 minutes from this guy. You know, from this priest from Africa who's never seen professional wrestling in his life. And then later that night, you know, I grabbed Punk and I said, well, hey, listen, we'll go stay over at their place. They have a nice big huge house in Dayton and they got a jacuzzi. We'll heal up a little bit and before we get on the road to Chicago. And Punk's like, cool. So we called the preacher and the preacher, you know, told the family in the house, goes, oh, you know, Punk and Joe are coming here, and the first enemy says, oh, no, will they be continuing the violence here? You know, he's so wrapped up in it.
Yes.
So, when we got there, he was very apprehensive. He was like, oh, very nice to meet you. Please do not hit each other anymore. You're all God's children. Everybody loves everybody. We're like, no, it's cool. We're fine with each other. We've made up.
Yeah. We buried the hatchet. But, Joe, we've appreciated having you on. We've had a great interview with you.
You know,
very
let
funny.
Me say before we close, Doc,
yes.
That if every young guy has the mind and the mindset and the work ethic of Samoa Joe, then our business is in good shape for years to come because he honestly one of the sharpest, most mature wrestling minds for a guy his age that I've dealt with in the last 10 years. And, you bring a lot to the table, my friend, and if I can ever be of help to you, please don't hesitate to call on me.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Les. I mean, it means the world. Appreciate it, man.
And Joey, we'll have to have you back soon.
Absolutely.
All right.
All right, my friend, and if you ever get that U-Haul truck, if you don't want, you ought to take that U-Haul truck from the Monster Garage and take it on the road for Gabe.
I can call up Tom Beers, the producer, right now. I can see that truck sitting in a garage somewhere in Long Beach. I'm sure I can dig it out of storage.
Yeah, excellent, man. Samoa Joe here on Wrestling Weekly. Well, Les, we are running out of time.
Yeah,
and,
we're going to get out of here.
We got to get going. So
we've had a good show. It's been a good week, Doc. I'll be on the road in Columbus, Georgia for the Fred Ward Memorial next week and have a live report for you when we do the show.
Excellent. That sounds good. Check out what Les is up to every week at lesthatcher.com and, of course, epwt.com. That's Elite Pro Wrestling Training. For Les Thatcher, I'm Doc Young, and we're getting out of here. We'll see you next week once again on Wrestling Weekly. Good night.
You've been listening to Wrestling Weekly. Please join us again next Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern right here on WrestlingWeekly.com.